0833 333 975. A couple of items now that we're supposed to have between now and 12 o'clock I have put off until tomorrow because I have a young gentleman here in front of me. Going to laugh there. Oh no, he's nodding. Yeah, he's nodding there. Yes, Dermot Power. The Street Where You Live. So we've one copy of the book to give away at present. We may get another one next week. We'll see. Give more publicity to Dermot because he deserves as much publicity as possible on this. He self-financed this book. It's retailing at €30. The launch is going to be taking place on Thursday night. It's called The Street Where You Live. We have around 60 texts in already to our competition. Just text in the word Dermot. D-E-R-M-O-T. And we'll put you into the competition hat. Firstly, before I talk to Dermot, a cream Labrador has been found in the city centre this morning. So I presume the dog went missing in terms of the weather and the rain and maybe got frightened. So a lovely cream Labrador, if it's your dog that's missing, there was one found in the city centre this morning. Give us a ring here. Give Audrey a ring at 051 872 248. And a pensioner living in Ferrybank says it cost him €28.50 to get from Ferrybank to the hospital for appointments as he cannot rely on the buses to get him there on time with the traffic delays. The council are to blame for the bad management on the quay. Dermot Power, I'm going to go through some of your bibliography and I suppose your history in a minute. Firstly, what is Ferrybank? What was Ferrybank originally called?
Portmore.
Which means?
Well, the Great Harbour or the Great Bank, you know, on Portmore. And I got a phone call from a friend of mine, Donny Fell. And he said, do you ever hear it? He said, are you doing that on Ferrybank? I said, I don't think so. I said, Dan Dowland covered that fairly comprehensively. And he said, did you ever hear of Portmore? And whoosh, my ears went up straight away when I heard an Irish name. I'd never heard it before. But I went in and I spent about maybe 3 weeks to a month researching Ferrybank. And to discover that in the 1940s, There was a great revival of Gaelic heritage in that period, overall around the country. And so Ferrybank Hurling Club was Portmore GAA. Oh. They had a fish in it. The fishes that were held over in Ferrybank were Portmore, fish of Portmore. So Portmore was a very, very important name. It's an important name. I don't know what the significance. It's probably pre-Viking, but think about this, Damien. You have on one side of the river Portmore, and on the other side, directly across, where Portmore actually was an inlet, a harbour that was gone by 1871, and that was an inlet that was there, and the name over that inlet is Portmore, but it gave its name to the area. Like Ferrybank is a relatively new. If you look at the maps, 1764, you'll see one or two houses on Ferrybank, a couple of scattering of houses. It was in the village at that time, and that developed. So the original name was Portmore. I've traced that back to Kilcullaheen, the abbey there founded by Diarmaid MacMurrough in the 1100s. So it's probably ancient Irish and pre-Viking.
Texts are coming in already. Jerry Keenan. Hello, Jerry. I hope all is good. I just want to wish Dermot the very best of luck with the new book. Dermot's a good friend and a good neighbour. That's in from Jerry. If you want to text in as well, please do. I'll get to as many of texts as possible. As I say, I've cleared the decks to do this interview. We've got around 20 minutes for a chat. It deserves 20 years for a chat because this book is at least 20 years in the making. Dermot Power is a local historian, a musician, a singer, celebrating 60 years in the music industry this year. He brought honour to his native city in Waterford with several bands, winning national and international music awards since 1968. We're talking about Simon's Protégé and many, many others. And in terms of history, he has many publications dating from 1992 called The Ballads and Songs of Waterford, The Street Where You Live in 93. That was only a 20-page, I suppose, preamble into what we have now, and The Hidden History of Waterford 2009, and many, many others. So in front of me, as I say, I have The Street Where You Live, 500 pages, 60 photographs, fully referenced. If you're interested in this sort of thing, you cannot get a better book or a present for somebody at Christmas. It's genuinely really, really good. Dermot, firstly, well done.
Thanks, Damien. Well, it was a labour of love, you know. And I've always been interested in history since I was a child. But in the 1990s, I got involved in a FOS scheme in Garter Lane. And I got a grand title of folklore researcher. And I went off looking for the ballads of Waterford and tramped the highways and byways, speaking to old men and recording old men in pubs and all around the county. And I brought up my first book in 1992, The Ballads and Songs of Waterford. But in that book, there are several songs about streets. Dyehouse Lane was one of them. the Wedding of Slea Cail, which was another one, the Battle of Peter Street. So, and then I started thinking about the streets, and then I went from, I got a job in the library on another FOSS scheme, indexing, and when I was in there, I just fell in love with the research aspect of it. And I then, myself and my colleague Michael O'Sullivan, we were in the Waterford room, and we were identified as probably the best, an area of excellence within the library service throughout the whole of Ireland. There was a flourish of books being done at the time. Everybody was coming in, and we were giving them all, and we gave ourselves titles, local history advisors, which wasn't appreciated in certain quarters. However, that's me. But then I decided to do this. Dan Dowlin brought out his excellent book in 1998. Dan was a great friend of mine, and so I decided. I said I'd leave a go for a while and a period of time. Then, when you know things go out of memory, and I said again. My book is different insofar as this is a book. Damien, I need to show you something beforehand. Just bear with me a second.
It's an amazing book, as I say, The Street Where You Live, and it is just so accessible. The launch, and we'll talk about the book now in a second, is taking place in the Granville Hotel on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and everybody is welcome. And that's the place where you'll get a copy of the book, as I say. Dermot is trying to get the money back on the book because he had to self-finance this. So it's not available in the bookshops at the minute. And it will be available in the next few weeks, but it's not available in the bookshops at the minute. So basically, you can go on to Google Books if you want to send it to one of your friends or relations abroad.
Well, Damien, just a correction there is that I didn't self-finance the whole lot of it. And I tell you why. I did apply to local, both national and local heritage bodies for funding, which wasn't forthcoming. So my friend Joe Falvey, who has been by my side all through this and a great advisor and a walking encyclopedia, said to me, Dermot, he said, go to the people who were part of the story. And I did. And every one of those was able to help me part finance this book. And I'd have to, all their names are in the back of the book. Now, I want to show you this, Damien. Hold that in your hand and feel the edges of it.
Okay.
Right. It's a small little stone.
Small little stone. Beautifully soft on one side and quite rough on the other side.
That stone is 10,000 years old.
My goodness.
That was made by the first Waterfordians, first humans to set their foot down on Craydon Head.
Wow.
We are here since that. Waterford has been continuously inhabited from the Mesolithic people to the Neolithic to the Bronze Age farmers, and on it goes. Waterford was never empty. The Vikings were a blip in our history. The Normans were a blip in our history. The Irish have been here since that period.
10,000 years old.
10,000 years old, Damien. Isn't that incredible? And this book is part of that. If you imagine, Damien, I'm sure when you were young or whatever, go out the country for a walk and you're walking along and all of a sudden you're up on a little knock and you're overlooking a kind of like a glen and a cloud comes across and next thing the whole place darkens and as you're looking down at the glen, it becomes dark and you just visualise an Irish person saying, ah, on Glown Dubh, the dark glen, or the sunlight flashes on a hill and you say, oh, Knockbawn, the White Mount, the White Knock or the White Mountain. And the Irish, that's the way they put their names. Everything was poetic. It was nature, everything. Everything was colour. We have the Yellow Road on Boherbui, you know, Claybuy on Claybuy, the Yellow Ditch, Slea Cail. Now, if I may, just for a moment, go into Slea Cail, right? In the Irish, that's written S-L-I-Fada, Slea. But the Waterford accent, and there is a chapter on the Waterford accent in the book, we render it A. Everything with an I-fada in Waterford was A. So we had Slea Cail, not Sleeve Keel, Slea. And I had this argument with a man from Loganham. He said, it's Sleeve Cail, it's the narrow mountain. No, I said, it's not the narrow mountain. I said, it's Slea, but the Waterford accent is Slea. And it was corrupted into Sleeve. So Claybuy is the same. It's Claybuy, the Yellow Ditch. And so That's it. And that's the way these things were formed, Damien, you know.
The history that you have within these pages, like, we don't have time to get into them all, but the likes of Grubbs Lane.
Yeah.
You talk about the Grotto, for example, different things, Grosvenor Terrace, Kilbarry, Hennessy's Road, Passage Road. There's so much history. How did you do it?
Well, Damien,
this is 20 years in the making, isn't it?
No, more than that.
30 years.
Since 1992.
1992. 35 years.
Yeah, well, 1990 actually. Yeah, 1990.
35 years.
Yeah, 35 years in the making. But I mean, one thing about it was, I concentrated on the social history. And for me, that was how the ordinary people have lived. They lived in the lanes, Damien. They lived in squalor. They lived in absolute poverty. And I particularly, there's times, maybe one or two in the morning, I'd be on the computer. And I'd be writing about the orphans from the workhouse. Do you know Greer's shop?
Yes.
Down, yeah, great place. There's a door there. That was an entrance to a lane called Tanyard Arch. Right. Terrible place. Poverty. But in there, during the famine period, was the auxiliary workhouse. 200 young girls between the ages of 16 and 18 were taught how to sew. And they were allowed out. Once they determined they could make something like sixpence a week, they were allowed out of the workhouse and they crowded into small little rooms around Waterford. They were picked off by the cute boys of Waterford, fellas with a couple of bob in their pocket, to have sex with them. And a lot of them went back to the workhouse pregnant. The poor little innocent creators, you know. And I could feel, now I'm serious, Tim, I could feel them around me, looking over my shoulder. You know, little boys of 10 years old in the workhouse, right? 12 years old in the workhouse. One of them stole bread out of the pantry, like Oliver Twist and Charles Dickens. What did he get for it? Not a couple of slaps on the hand. He was brought out to the prison out in Hennessy's Road, was known as the penitentiary, and put on the treadmill. Now, the treadmill was like a hamster's wheel with steps on the outside that you'd actually have to step on and to make this wheel move. It was horrible. I mean, they were all around me, Damien. I was really affected by it. And yeah, it's a horrible story, but it's a story that happened, that we lived through.
The stories that come and emanate from these chapters, as I say, lost stories, and you reference streets that have disappeared, and there may be references in previous anthologies or city archives to things that have disappeared. It's important to reference those as well. You're making history come alive and you've a great social conscience, Dermot. You're a strong and proud Irishman, a strong Waterford man. The history of Waterford, as you say, is a history of immigrants and people coming into the city and making the city better. And also the businesses and the families. And like Goats Lane, for example, between 14 and 15 Lower Yellow Road, parallel with Phillips Street. There's so much.
Yeah.
I learned so much about it, even in the hour and a half that I had a look at it last night. It's phenomenal.
It is. What it is, even like, I mean, the people like Cannon Power, right, who did the original placements of the dishes. Stan Carroll, who was a city surveyor. Julian Walton, big hero. Now, Damien, the difference is that this book is a tribute also to all those people, like Julian. Willie Flower in Dungarvan. I'm mad about the Dungarvan lads. They're just so go ahead and they have everything up there. And they don't do it for funding. They do it for the love of Dungarvan and the love of Ireland. Eddie Cantwell writes a 3,000-page essay every week in the local paper. You know, like, we've lost all that. There was a time when you'd pick up a Waterford newspaper, it was full of history of Waterford. It's all gone, Damien.
Personal thing, I'm involved, as you know, with the Junior League, and I reference Osier Park. The growing and cultivation of osiers were essential to basket making, a trade in Waterford, and the origin of the word osier is as follows. Coming from approximately 1300 AD, the willow switch, and 1400 AD. Like, that's amazing. And how Osier Bank was referenced in 1851 in Waterford, in the Waterford News. How did you do all of this research?
Well, I tell you, Damien, unfortunately, most of the help that I got, right, in that sense, was outside of Waterford. The Irish online Irish newspaper archive gave me access for the duration of that. They gave me access to the files. and they didn't charge me a penny.
Wow.
And that's why that's so detailed. I could go in my ledger onto that, and I really owe an awful lot to him, you know. People like Joe Falvey, who was constantly by my side. Eugene Broderick, there were times that I was really despondent. It was a labour of love, as I say, and it was a journey. But sometimes, Damien, it was hard, you know. It was a lonesome journey. You know, you're on your own and you're looking at things. Things can go wrong. Then when I couldn't get any funding for it, and Joe Falvey came to my aid, as I said, with the saying, go to people who were part of the story. And they all, without exception, came through. Yeah. Local shopkeepers, the Quakers, the Bishop of Waterford. You know, I was so proud to be part of it. And this book is for, and as you said, you read through it, it's all about the ordinary people of Waterford. There's no important people in that book, but everybody, to me, whether they lived in a lane, Usher's Arch, whatever lane they came through, you know. And like Damien, Ballybricken, everybody said, oh, the fair in Ballybricken. There was another fair in Ballybricken, was called the Hirden Fair, where people, young boys and young girls and old women of 80 years, set themselves up to be bought their services for a year. That was stopped around 1900 for one reason, and that was because of the abuse of young girls. And my grandfather said to me, up Newport Lane, he said to me, it was I think the early 70s, he said, have you the care with you? And I said, I have. Will you bring me over to Ballybricken? He said, an old man at the time. I said, okay, what do you want to see, Grandad? I heard, he said, there's grass being grown over there. There is, I said, yeah, they're after setting grass on Ballybricken. Well, by God, he said, I never thought I'd see the day. I remember, he said, in Ballybricken, I was only a young fella, and the priest banging the pulpit, and he's shouting, there'll be grass grow on Ballybricken yet. And that was because of the abuse of the young girls. That's all in the book.
And the empathy you have with the streets and the people from the streets, as I say, you spoke about the shadows and the people and the souls that walk these streets, and the streets that have disappeared and the lanes, and those souls come alive in this book. They genuinely do. And that's because of your empathy, I think, and you're not judgmental on anybody, whether a person is rich or poor. And you've done a lot on the Magdalen Laundries and all the different aspects of things locally. You've done documentaries, Soviet Nahair and on T.G. Cahir. Those were the days. 180 episodes in WLR. Those were the days over the years. Aftermath, the documentary on the Irish Civil War. And you've got YouTube. You've got so much on the history. Why? We've only got, again, time is just, we've only got 2 minutes left. Why is it important, Dermot? Why did you do it?
If you open the front of the book,
won't get emotional on me now.
No, you'll find that the dedication is to my parents and grandparents.
Yeah.
That's where I got it from.
Nan and Chappie Power, my grandparents, Harriet Creed and Tom O'Neill, who gave me my love of history, music, storytelling and a deep love of being Irish.
That's it. That's why I did it. That's why. You know?
Talk to me about Thursday night and what's happening while it's going to be who the winner is.
The book will be available from 7 o'clock down if you want to come down. If you haven't time to stay, the mayor, Seamus Ryan, will be there. And he will say his little piece. And then I just speak very briefly about, like what we spoke about, Damien. And I'll start off with my little 10,000-year-old flint and just bring it into the book. And then I'll be signing the book there and then. It will be going into the book centre about a week's time. Excuse me, but it will be available there for sale on the night, and people have pre-ordered. So people who pre-ordered a book, all they have to do is contact me. I gave most of my telephone number. They can contact me. And for those overseas, it is already on Amazon Books.
Amazon Books.
You know.
Yeah, okay. So it's a street where you live. Again, a lovely, lovely front cover. History of Waterford Street and Place Names, published by Dermot Power, and it is artwork by Ken O'Neill. That's really nice, isn't it?
Ken O'Neill is a cousin of mine, and everybody that saw the book when they looked at the cover said, wow.
Yeah.
And he's a local artist, brilliant artist, and I said he's a cousin of mine. And I was out with him the other day. You know Ken, you do.
Yeah, I do.
Know
Ken well. Brilliant.
Lovely young fella.
Absolutely.
And very talented artist. And so I was delighted and proud to get something you know, and it's within the family still, you know. So that's it.
Dermot, you've done yourself, the county, your family, Ireland, a great service.
Thank
Fair
you.
Play to you.
Thank you, dear.
Congratulations to John Kennedy in Arbor Road, Liz Duggan. Arbor Road, A-R-B-O-R.
Yeah.
There's another one
yeah.
referenced in the book as
yeah.
well. Dermot, thank you very much.
Thank you, Damien.
Really appreciate it. Well
thank
done. Good luck
much.
With the sales.
Yeah.
Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Granville yeah. Hotel. Everybody welcome.
7 to 9, yeah. Everybody's welcome.
Very good. Jennifer, thank you for producing. Gemma's up next with some excellent music and some great interviews. You've been listening to Dermot Power. A pleasure and an honour. Thank you, Dermot.
Thank you, Damien.
Slán go fóill, tógadh agaibh.